save big money on your next project. Now at Menards. Brighten up your garage or workspaces with LED utility and panel light bulbs from GT Light. GT Light light bulbs are energy efficient, and with their easy adjustable light panels, you can direct light where you need it most. Save big on all GT industrial utility and panel light bulbs. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for more hot deals happening now. Save big.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Now, this is your home of independent, fearless and credible journalism. Let's start off from the court. And this afternoon, the Apex Court has deferred the ruling on the injunction application by Dr. Amanda Odoi and broadcast journalist Richard De La Sky to the transmission of the anti-LGBTQ bill to the president, and rather deliver the ruling on the same day the final judgment will be given. The five-member panel chaired by Chief Justice herself, Gertrude Tokonu, stated that the court agreed to make an early trial into the case, as that will better serve the purpose of justice. The two lawsuits filed by broadcast journalist Richard De La Sky and researcher Dr. Amanda Odoi are against Parliament's passage of the controversial anti-gay bill and its onward transmission to President Akufo-Addo for assent.
Is that the crux of this application boils down to the resolution of two questions. First, whether prima facie and at this stage at which the substantive action has not been heard, the case is sufficiently made that the procedures accompanying the introduction of the Human Sexual Rights and Family Values Bill 2024 in Parliament reflected an egregious constitutional transgression warranting this court's intervention. And second, whether the invitation for this court's interference in the parliamentary process regarding the passage of the said bill and presentation for presidential assent would improperly encroach on the constitutional prerogatives of the legislative and executive branches. We have thoroughly reviewed all the material processes on the record in this application, and we are convinced that the matters raised in this application can be better dealt with by obtaining all the facts through an early trial. We also hold the view that an early trial of the action will serve the cause of justice better in view of the fact that it will render a clearer view of the constitutional issues. Having therefore diligently analyzed all the material processes on the record in this instant application and listened to oral submissions by learned counsel for the parties, our decision is to reserve our verdict on the interlocutory application until the final determination of the substantive suit, at which point we will render a comprehensive judgment that addresses all aspects of the case, including the current application for injunction. In conclusion, the decision of this court on this application for an interlocutory injunction is hereby deferred to abide the outcome of the determination of the substantive suit.
Well, let's take you live to the Apex Court, and head of our legal affairs desk, Richard Kojonyako, is in court for us, joins us on the line with more. So listening to that explanation given by Chief Justice Gertrude Tokonu, one wonders when this early trial will begin then.
Well, so we put that question to the Attorney General, who says that, well, the legal vacation is coming, but it gives them the leverage to file the necessary processes aimed at an expedited trial. And so they do not really know when the expedited trial will begin, but he is sure that very soon that expedited trial and any trial will come up by the Supreme Court.
And I'm sure you've been getting some reactions from the petitioners on this ruling.
Yes, so counsel for Richard De La Sky, Park Isibedu, who spoke to us, indicated that they were okay with the approach the Supreme Court has adopted, insisting that until the final determination of the court, Parliament cannot transmit the bill to the president.
When an application is before court and it has not been determined, although it has not expressly been stated, granted or not granted, but once it is pending, you don't do anything to prejudice the outcome of the application. So we say that invariably, indirectly, it is still restraining any party from doing anything contrary to the demands of the application. Can't do it insofar as this matter is pending, otherwise it will amount to contempt of court, to the best of our understanding of the law. When the court speaks about an early trial, in effect what it means is that it will speed up the process towards the determination of the matter, so that this whole issue of injunction before final determination will not no longer take a center stage. As an officer of the court, I am not in the least in the position to dictate the timetable of the court. But the farthest I can say is that pleadings have not closed in the matter. As you might have rightly heard from the Attorney General, they are yet to file their response. And I believe counsel for the first defendant is also yet to file. So until those processes are filed, nobody can tell when we'll be given date for our next appearance.
What do you make of that point for us?
Order. We have always maintained that our pleading in one trajectory is different from that of the first defendant, but our case subsumes the case of the first defendant. So determining the two together will not spoil anything.
Well, that's Pakwesi Bedu, lawyer for Richard De La Sky. And of course, there's more on that particular situation at the Apex Court on myjoyonline.com. But let me take you to Parliament now on that controversial LI, and will not go away. This morning or this afternoon, we've been hearing from the Transport Ministry. They are blaming the chairman of the Subsidiary Legislation Committee for being responsible for the inclusion of MPs, ministers and judges in the list of entities permitted to use sirens in the controversial legislative instrument. Well, according to the Deputy Transport Minister, Hassan Tampuli, he's been speaking on the Super Morning Show. He says the Ministry of Transport opposed that proposal, but eventually had to give in due to pressure from the chairman. That's Dominic Ayine.
So it was in the course of going through clause by clause review that we got to this place. And members of the Subsidiary Legislation Committee, chaired by Honorable Dr. Dominic Ayine, insisted that we must expand the scope of this particular clause to include the vice president, because the president has been mentioned, the head of state has been mentioned, but the vice president has not been mentioned.
Okay.
So we should include the vice president, the speaker of parliament, the chief justice, ministers of state, justices of the Supreme Court, and members of parliament. A minister at that meeting disagreed that if we have to expand the scope of this application, it's going to create some amount of chaos in the society. I mean, you can imagine all 275 members of parliament driving around the place with sirens blaring all over the place. So the Ministry of Transport disagreed at that meeting, and the records will show. Subsequent to that, the Attorney General wrote a letter with the amendments that have been proposed and still stood by these particular provisions in March this year and sent to the Subsidiary Legislation Committee. Now, the committee insisted that we must include those particular amendments that have been proposed to include all this category of officers. Now, on the day that I was detailed by the minister to go and do the laying of the instrument, when I rose to lay the instrument, I was stopped by the chairman of the Subsidiary Legislation Committee. And so I was stopped in my tracks, and speaker directed that we should let the chairman of the committee verify. And we went outside of the chamber to the lobby, and the chairman of the Subsidiary Legislation Committee confirmed that the proposed amendment have been included before we were permitted to leave.
Just a way of clarification.
The Ministry of Transport and the government of the Republic of Ghana had no appetite at all for including ministers of state and members of parliament. If we would have done that, we would have done that since 2017. So these provisions were not originally from members from the government of the Republic of Ghana.
Now, the Deputy Transport Minister, Hassan Tampuli, they're speaking to Winston Amwa on the Super Morning Show today. Well, yesterday, we saw the minority issue a statement demanding the withdrawal of this controversial LI. Majority Chief Whip Frank Anodompre also noted that the proposal to include MPs among the beneficiaries of the law originated from the minority side of the House. We've been hearing from him on that. But let's listen to the Chairman of Parliament Subsidiary Legislation Committee himself, Dr. Dominic Ayine. He's been accused of insisting on expanding the scope of the LI.
At the pre-laying consideration, members can make proposals, and we have done that, you know, across various sectors. We usually make very extensive, you know, I mean, input. So at the pre-laying consideration, we, I mean, extensively ask that the instrument be revised. I have on my desk here the instrument with my notes from page 1 all the way to the last page, a member from the government side raised the issue as to whether, why MPs were not included in the list of people who are entitled to use the sarin. Subsequently, as chairman, I asked the ministry to take account of all the proposals that were made, including those that I, as chairman, also noted and asked that they should make substantive revision to the instrument. That also included whether they will amend proposed regulation, the revision of Regulation 74 to add MPs to the list, all right? So I asked that they should, go back and consider all the amendments that have been proposed by the committee. And they went and did. When they did, they sent it back to the committee for us to vet every amendment that has been proposed. Okay, so it was not about styrene and speed limits. It was about everything that had to do with this particular instrument.
As the chairman of Parliament's Subsidiary Legislation Committee, Dr. Dominic Ayene, in response to the comment or the claims that he's actually responsible for adding MPs, ministers and judges to use sirens and exempt them from speed limits in that legislative instrument. Let me bring in Parliamentary Affairs Correspondent Kwekwa Santi on this. Kweku, has the dust settled on the LI matter?
Well, finally, yes, MPs are now resigning themselves to the fact that they are not going to drive without speed limits. And they are not going to be exempt from the provisions not to install sirens and other things among their cars. In fact, there are still persons in Parliament who really believe that they should be allowed to do that. They believe that there's a certain element of jealousy. In fact, that is a quote from Apia Kumi's press conference he did in the last few days, saying that there are certain aspects of the public that are jealous about these perks that MPs, ministers enjoy by being part of the office. But this ally has been withdrawn, and most of them are now resigning themselves to fate. Some of them, in fact, one MP I met this morning telling me that while MPs themselves by driving their Land Cruisers are not stopped mostly by the police anyway, and so by facts they're able to enjoy these perks. Only that they wanted to legalize this by amending this LI and then allowing them to enjoy all these perks. Okay. But after this, now they're not going to enjoy that by law, because that LI has been withdrawn and struck out from the House.
Well, in the meantime, though, happening on the floor now, we are told that the chairman of the EC, the commissioner herself, has been to Parliament. What exactly has happened?
Well, so it is Parliament itself that has gone to the Electoral Commission today. They presented the inaugural Democracy Cup to the chairperson. Today, Asante Kotoko and Accra House of Folk will be locked up in the inaugural Democracy Cup that is being spearheaded by Parliament. Before that, members of Parliament will be playing ex-Black Star players all over the Accra Stadium starting from 3 p.m. But Madame de Mensa says her commission is really steadfast on their commitment to ensuring the 2024 election is free and fair and that the losing parties should accept the results.
We serve as the midwives that birth the elections. We are the referees that conduct and that lay the election and the processes that lead to, the election day itself. And so as referees, we are committed to, ensuring that our activities from now in the lead up to the election and all our electoral processes are transparent, they are open, they are fair, and they involve the collaboration of our key stakeholders, i.e. the political parties and the citizenry. So like the referee of the match this afternoon, we commit to ensuring transparency in all aspects of our work. Our activities are open, as I mentioned, right from the registration through to the declaration of elections. Everything is done in the full glare of the public. Nothing is hidden.
That's the EC chairperson. That will be the referee for later today. Muftah Nabila will join me. Then we'll talk about that Democracy Cup much later. But let's focus on the National Development Planning Commission. And in May, they unveiled a Vision 2057 agenda with a focus on peace and security, science and innovation, and macroeconomic stability. It is expected that political parties will fashion their manifestos to reflect this long-term plan. Well, part of the vision is to also ensure that successive governments will continue stalled projects of their predecessors governments. But at the Jubilee House last night to sell the idea to President Akufo-Addo, there was a pushback. We'll hear his reservations shortly, but first listen to the Principal Planning Officer with the Commission, Farouk Anderson.
It is a document that is non-partisan and it is also non-prescriptive. It is prepared in response to public demand for a national long-term development agenda and allows for future governments and future generations to determine the various policies, programs, and development actions that will help us attain the targets. It's also been used to encourage political parties to use it as a guide in developing their manifestos. It has been developed through a very consultative process. In the process, we engage various stakeholders, which include media engagement, CSOs. We also engage MDAs and professional bodies to be able to arrive at this document.
But President Akufo-Addo says it will be difficult to get the political...
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Parties to adopt the NDPC plan over their manifestos.
Frankly, I am not a Marxist. I'm not a socialist. I don't believe in all of this prescriptive planning of physical targets and central planning and all of that. And most, I get the impression that quite a lot of people who had been with this institution were influenced by that kind of thinking in the way they were looking at previous plans. But to have the output from the Planning Commission, which recognizes the reality of the multi-party democratic state that we have in Ghana, that people come with different commitments to the seat of government, and we have a plan, a forward-looking plan, which accommodates that, I thought was a very important step. And I think the thinking of people who say that we should put manifestos aside and subscribe to Lancet. Yeah, that is assuming that everybody thinks the same, and there's an arrogance in that way of looking at the country and its future, which I've always found very difficult to swallow. That we should put aside manifestos. They are the product of social engagements. Not everybody, would have thought that this free senior high school matter was a priority for the country. There's still people who question it.
That's President Akufo-Addo. He's in the Ashanti region now as we speak, and we're told that he'll be commissioning some hospital projects. My colleague Nana Buachi Dankwa-Iyadom has been joining the president's team, joins us on the line. Nana, so first tell us what the president is expected to be doing in the region.
Well, Emma, this morning, the president is expected to be at the YEA Beneficiaries Forum at Bantama Church of Pentecost to engage with the youth and then some other members who have benefited from the YEA opportunities that they laid out there. And so that is the very first thing the president is expected to do in the region this morning.
And this afternoon, though, let's talk about the commissioning of these hospitals that he's expected to commission.
Well, he's expected to commission the Kumeu Government Hospital and then the Pomona Hospital. These hospitals, which started 2014 and 2015 respectively, are well equipped from our searches. And then since we've been there, we monitor the place. We know that everything is intact, and the president is expected to inaugurate these hospitals for use for the benefit of these communities and its environment.
And I'm sure you've been hearing from community members, residents already. What's been the response?
Well, they are jointly embracing this commissioning of the hospitals. They are expecting that the president, after cutting sword, will make sure that the facility is totally equipped without for them not to lack anything at all, so that they can access the facility.
That's my colleague Nana Buachi Dankwa-Iyadom reporting live from the Ashanti region, taking us on a quick break here on the Midday News, which is also live on Love 99.5 FM in Kumasi, here in Accra on Joy 99.7 FM, live in all 16 regions, also made possible by Petrosol. Your clean fuel in full quantity Petrosol is always a delightful experience. We've been to the Supreme Court, where they've deferred a ruling on interlocutory injunction application seeking to bar Parliament from transmitting the anti-gay bill to the presidency for assent. We'll return from the break with sport. And if you're experiencing any form of fever or you're feeling unwell, don't self-medicate. That's the caution from the Ghana Health Service. Intensifying medical training and risk communication as the dengue fever cases rise to 36 in the last 72 hours.
So now there's an enormous campaign in the communities affected, using the community information centers, using the radio stations, using their beds, using gongons to get people to avoid the bite of a mosquito.